Greetings, everyone. A happy new year to all, and welcome to Econoday Unplugged. I'm Jeremy Hawkins, Econoday's European economist based here in London. Unfortunately, we're out and today, but as ever, our US expert Mark Pender is ready and indeed poised to gaze into his crystal ball for the new year. It was the ancient Chinese philosopher and poet Lao Tzu who said, "Those who have knowledge don't predict, those who predict don't have knowledge." Well, I guess given all the economic and political uncertainties currently occupying financial markets, that could well prove to be an ominously accurate depiction of 2017. However, if anyone can prove him wrong, of course, it's Mr. Pender. So Mark, let's get things going. What do you think investors should be looking out for this year?
Well, I think that they should be patient, exactly what you were saying, and they need to. We need to wait probably until halfway through the new year before we can see the traction that the new administration has on its plans, which are an increase in fiscal spending mixed with tax cuts and including deregulation. It's also what strikes me most. I'm looking at a headline right now from Vice Presidential-elect Pence, and he's saying jobs are the priority for the Trump administration. Yet we're at full employment. We're at 4.6% unemployment rate, and it's been under 5 or under for the last year. So that really does raise the risk of based on, you know, historical expectations of a flashpoint for wage inflation. So, and I think that that's what we're seeing, of course, in the, what we've been seeing in the bond market for the last, since following the election, a sharp rise in long rates. So there is the risk of inflation, which I think is in the background. It'll be interesting to see where we can draw more workers, perhaps more discouraged workers, can fill in these positions. Otherwise, employers are going to have to start bidding up, in theory, are going to have to start bidding up wages. Yet again, this is all, we have to see how the Trump administration deals with Congress and how willing Congress will be to implement these new policies. And
in terms of the labor market, Mark, then how much scope do you think there is for an increase in the participation rate from here? Is there a lot of upside potential which would solve the kind of issues you're talking about, or is it kind of close to where it should be anyway?
Well, it's been very disappointing. There's been a falling participation, but perhaps higher wages can draw in more workers. It's hard to say. I mean, you could argue that people who want a job have a job right now, and certainly they're not the greatest. Many of them are not the greatest jobs, and it would be nice to have better jobs, but there still has to be a service economy, and a lot of the service economy are going to be low wage positions. So, and many of the discouraged workers, unless they've been out there honing their skills, they're not going to be at the top shelf coming in and getting the top jobs. That has to play out. Now let's turn to you, Jeremy. How is the U.S. outlook affecting expectations in Europe?
Well, I think in Europe there's, I don't know, expectation, but there's a lot of hope that we will see some acceleration in U.S. growth, which effectively gives the European economy itself something of a proverbial boot up the backside. I mean, the recent figures have typically suggested that continental Europe has picked up a little bit of momentum, but we're still talking really quite sluggish growth, and it's leaving a large enough shortfall in terms of potential capacity that there isn't still really any particular upside risk and on the core inflation side. We had numbers out this morning which some of the headlines have been latching onto, showing that Eurozone inflation, at least the flash measure for December, moved up to 1.1%. which is a decent enough increase in its own right. But at the end of the day, the core rates are running at just 0.9%. And although that's a little bit higher than we've had in the last few months, it's just back to where we were around summer of last year and still short of where we were before that. So to all intents and purposes, you know, there's not any potential, no particular inflationary pressures in the Eurozone at the moment. UK is a little bit different potentially because we've got relatively fast growth, somewhat surprisingly, still within the UK, despite all the Brexit worries. It seems as if for the time being, there's not that much of a slowdown going on here. But of course, it's a really case of what's going to happen over longer run. But still, most of the business and indeed consumer surveys suggesting that growth will slow as we go through 2017. So we're going to get this probable crossover of rising inflation due to the fall in the pound. At the same time, as we see a slowdown in the rate of growth of activity, which leaves, of course, you have a conundrum for the Bank of England. What's it supposed to do? But I think, you know, from the monetary policy side in Europe, a lot of it actually may not, you know, feature a great deal on investors' radars, in the sense that the ECB has already pretty well laid out its plan for this from this coming year, which, you know, to all intents and purposes, is no change in interest rates and a gradual reduction in asset purchases over the final three quarters of the year. Bank of England could well be on hold. So I think in many ways, surprises from the monetary policy side in Europe might be the Swiss National Bank. As we said earlier, there is still a lot of uncertainty out there. If it turns out to be the case, perhaps policies on your side of the water are not what investors want to see. We've got a string of elections, key elections, which I think will be a major focus for European investors over here, perhaps even early general elections in Italy and the UK as well. It could be that capital inflows start looking for safe haven. And if that's the case, of course, the Swiss franc could do well. And as far as the Swiss National Bank's concerned, it's already too strong. So there may be scope for some kind of moves on that front.
Well, you know, a feature of this whole thing, of course, has been the rise, the sharp rise underway for the dollar, which should be a positive for European factory production, certainly demand for their goods, and a question mark here for the U.S. factory sector. Are Europeans including upgrading their outlook for exports?
Well, certainly they're looking to the US for, you know, a decent stimulus to that would be export supply coming out of Europe and indeed out of the UK for that matter as well. So we don't have a domestic demand in Europe. If growth's going to get up to the kind of levels which will finally start to push inflation towards the ECB's near 2% target, you know, that push is going to have to come from overseas, and to all intents and purposes, that's going to be your side of the pond. So I think, again, people are hoping for some kind of stimulus. Because to be honest, if it doesn't really happen, I think such as the political backdrop of elections in Germany, in France, big elections in both those countries, Dutch elections as well, there's this real, you know, the buzzword over here at the moment, you know, really is populism. And there's this real fear that if we do see a further move to the right and nationalism, that the whole Euro project itself could unravel. One where stopping that, of course, would be a strong Eurozone economy. So I think, you know, it very much is the case that all eyes here are upon your side of what's going on and how much help you can give us.
Those elections, are they loaded into the second half of the year?
Well, the initial elections take place. The earliest one I think investors should be alert to really is going to be in the Netherlands, and that takes place in March. And thereafter, we'll see the French presidential elections, which will certainly be one of the big ones. They start on April the 23rd, and the second round's on the 7th, if necessary. And then the big ones, the German federal elections, which aren't timetabled yet, but they have to be somewhere between the 27th of August and the 22nd of October. So, you know, given what's been happening in politics, given the lack of accuracy of the opinion polls, mm-hmm. there's just an awful lot of uncertainty about how they might go at the moment.
Well, that's important because these opinion polls, both for Brexit and for Donald Trump, proved to be completely unreliable, extraordinarily unreliable. And it poses a big question for investors, what the outlook really is, how much traction populism has. But, how is the standard of living in Europe right now? I mean, has it been improving? Has it been stagnant? Where is this populism getting its fuel?
Well, I think that's partly, it is exactly that. There's been a lack of improvement in worker conditions, certainly in terms of standard of livings anyway, for too many Eurozone countries. If you look at growth across the Eurozone currently, then Germany is really, and crucially, the standout member. It looks as if it finished last year on a pretty strong note, and from the way the order books are looking, it seems that this year should start pretty well too. But France really has been enduring very sluggish growth for a long time now. The same applies to Italy. So you're talking two of the big three in Europe really struggling, and that's very much one reason why we got this growth of populism taking place, and why there's a lot of pressure on these Eurozone governments to try and not necessarily go down the Donald Trump route per se, but certainly to adopt a more loose fiscal stance, which will help to get the growth going again.
Are there outstanding figures, charismatic personalities appearing in Europe right now?
Well, to be honest, most of the more charismatic figures tend to be amongst the more populist groupings. And I suppose of all of those, Marine Le Pen, who heads up the National Front side in France, probably dominates. And it's got to be said, if we believe these opinion polls, which already said we probably don't, they're suggesting that there is at least a chance that Marine Le Pen could win the French presidential elections. I think it's unlikely. But were she to perform well enough, it really is going to start raising some serious question marks about just how much further this European integration can go. And without additional integration, it's going to start making it that much harder to try and keep the euro itself together. Put all that little lot together, and it sort of suggests that, notwithstanding the uncertainty over what Mr. Trump may do, politics in Europe could well be a big negative as far as the euro is concerned. Okay. Well, I guess that's probably enough on politics and perhaps enough for people to take in at this start of a new year. So on this note, I guess we should take the opportunity to wish everyone good luck and a profitable 2017. And
Definitely.
We look forward to chatting to you next week. Thanks all.